You know W. Tapley Bennett, state of Georgia.
Yes, sir, I know him.
What do you think about him?
Well, he's a fine young man, Mr. President. I, of course, don't know him as well as do his father. His father was more of a contemporary of mine, though he's 8 or 10 years older than I am.
Is he able enough, tough enough, and would Russell name him ambassador of the Dominican Republic? If he were president, he was governor of Georgia, and they were naming him like you were when you were 32 years old?
I would if you've got somebody that'll give Tapped instructions what to do. You'll carry him out to the letter.
Well, we'll do that. You and I will do that here.
He'll carry him out to the letter. You need to worry a second. He comes of that breed. That's the old crowd been around over in that section of Georgia since before the Revolution.
They deserving of their heritage?
Yeah, they're good, tough people. Tapp was, of course, a genius in college. He graduated with Phi Beta Kappa and everything else, and I think he's an extraordinarily able young man. I think he would make a fine ambassador. I'm always very hesitant to endorse anybody without any reservations, because sometimes they fail you. But if I were making the appointment, I wouldn't be a bit afraid it would fire back on me.
All right, that's all I need. Do you know anything else?
No, sir. How's everything going?
No, we missed you yesterday. Where things are going like hell, we're in trouble in Indonesia, and we're in trouble in Tanganyika, and we're in trouble in Zanzibar, and we're in trouble in Panama, and they say that this hard line that you congressman up there, Joe Marshall's on his way up here to raise hell with me.
Who?
Joe Marshall. Red, he's on his way up here to represent the Zonites, to tell them, my God, how the cow ate the cabbage.
Well,
I told him they better keep him at home.
Well, they better keep him back. Yeah. He holds off to Joe Pleasure. You can
that's right.
Step down.
If he comes, he came and the general was sending him off. And by God, they had a big ceremony in the airplane to protest to the president and said the government had let him down. That's the damnest fool thing I ever heard for a man that... even works for the government, say.
Well, I don't know.
If he didn't have free speech in this country, he'd be fired.
I read him.
And then if he hadn't been Russell's friend, I found out he's your friend.
I don't know. I just do know him. He's not from Georgia. He worked around the Senate up here. He's from somewhere out west.
He's a damn fool, I'll tell you that.
Oklahoma or Texas.
Well, he sounds like he's from Oklahoma. Now, don't get him in Texas, Arizona.
I
saw you pull MacFarlane's leg on verbal.
I think he's from Oklahoma.
Well, he sounds like Oklahoma, Indiana.
I thought he had more sense than that. However, he did tell me he just thinking about resigning and coming home.
So. Well, he probably wants to get fired. That's where that other fellow Farland, you know, he wanted to get fired. So he could run for office down in West Virginia.
Well,
and his whole pitch was that he was against the Zonites. He was raising hell for the poor, distressed, distraught, oppressed people of Panama, this damn fella Farland was.
There was an English journalist that writes for one of the London Observer, I believe. It had an article was carried in today's Washington News that I thought was so excellent I had it printed in the body of the Congressional Record this afternoon. He said that we had done everything that people could be expected to do, and that we had suffered one great defeat in Cuba, and we ought not take another one down there. If we did, it would just keep on building up on us.
Well, we're not going to, but I'm going to take a lot of heat.
To my amazement, the Atlanta Constitution, Harold Martin, who's the best writer they have, he also writes for some of the slick papers, he had an article today just giving the Panamanians hell today. The objective was to take the Panama Canal zone over and to extort high charges there, and said he'd read what old Khrushchev said, but he'd like to see expression on his face if they had that canal when they started extorting from him for Russian ships going through. I'm going to put that in the record tomorrow.
Well, I wish you'd put something in the record about this first time in 10 years that the president reduced the acceleration of federal expenditures and started downward. Trouble with you and Harry Byrd and all my friends, and you all get me to do something, then by gosh, I don't hear any more out of it.
Well,
I just do it. And if I'd have gone up, that $5 billion at Kennedy goes up every year, 198, I'd have had 103.8.
Well,
instead of that, I cut below it, and the Republicans all denounce me. They get mad, and they say, well, goddammit, he don't know how he's going to do it. But, you know, I had a meeting in the cabinet yesterday, Saturday, and my independent agencies, you know how many I made them, under the budget figures, I've already got them 7,500 jobs below the budget figures on the first quarter's report.
That's terrific.
Now, I'm going to have reports every quarter, and they can't employ a man that they don't approve of over their target. And I've got them thinking economy and talking.
Well, I thought it'd been just universal there, but I've seen
that. No, when that budget message gets up there tomorrow, you ought to whisper to old Harry Bird like you did send those apples to Bob Anderson that time. He said he wouldn't even send Eisenhower that many apples. You ought to say now, you raise hell with him all the time, and if you want this boy to keep on, you just brag on him a little bit, and God, he'll fly to the moon and get up there and just say, I don't know how he's going to do it. He says he's going to do it, and I'm going to take him at his word, and we'll support him as long as he does, so forth. He don't need to underwrite it. He just commend the general trend in that direction.
Well, I'd be glad to do that.
I'll find some good editorial for you, because I don't want Humphrey putting everything in the record for me. I want the other side a little bit, too.
Well, I'd be glad to. I issued a statement of lauding it to the skies.
Did I show you that poll Don Cook sent me?
No.
He said, each year the electric utility industry has a number of surveys made on matters of important general interest. Since I believe it may be of interest, I'm enclosing it. The bottom of the third page is stated, the question being raised in the business community is whether President Johnson will prove to be understanding and constructive toward business. The January index report will provide the first assessment by corporations. I've had an opportunity to get a preview of the results of the survey. The final results are not expected to change. The results are based on returns of 176 top executives in manufacturing, finance, and utilities. The complete study will show returns from 190. So they have 176, 190,
mm-hmm.
or an additional 14. Thus, the results set out below may, for all practical purposes, be regarded as definitive. Two questions were asked. The question and reply follows. From what you know about President Johnson, how helpful do you expect the policies of his administration will be in stimulating business growth and expansion? Johnson, very helpful, 32%. Kennedy, 1962, fall and clash with Steele, 2%. Fairly helpful, Johnson, 58%. Kennedy, 19. Not very helpful, Johnson, 4. Kennedy, 75.
Jeez.
No opinion, 6. Kennedy, no opinion, 4. So 32 and 58 makes 90% think I'll be fairly helpful or very helpful, and only 4%. And there is 200 of the top men in business. Under the Johnson administration, in your opinion, is the outlook for cooperation between government and business reasonably good or pretty poor? Reasonably good, Johnson, 95. Kennedy, 17. Pretty poor, Johnson, 1. Kennedy, 66. Qualified answers, 2, Johnson, 14, Kennedy. No opinion, 2, Johnson, 3, Kennedy. Although the difference reflected in question 2 above is magnified by the fact that Kennedy's study was made after the clash of U.S. Steel over the steel price, there nonetheless can be no doubt about the favorable reaction among business leaders to the president at this time. The people who made the survey advise that traditionally new administrations hit their peak in goodwill at the start and point, among other things, the case of President Truman. They also state, however, that neither Truman nor Kennedy started off ever with such a favorable goodwill as Johnson does.
I don't believe Eisenhower had any.
I personally believe that a great deal of support the Johnson administration can be obtained in the business community. I'll be doing everything possible to bring about this help. Don Cook, President of American Electric Power.
That's terrific. Yes, sir. It sure is.
Now, let me ask you this. I've got a friend who's a very able man. I've got a friend who's a very able man who's an ambassador, and he's a career man in the service. I just met him once. He was going over to a disarmament meeting. I asked him to prepare a report, one-page report on me, because I've got to make a decision tonight. And here's what my general counsel, Internal Revenue, says. Attached is a report on the income tax record of Mr. X secured from the commissioner. The service closed this case on December the 11th. If it were not for the ambassador's disclosure, the service would not be aware of this matter. Under similar circumstances, service does not bring criminal charges. The ambassador's case was thus handled according to the normal routine. The State Department had been fully informed of the investigation. I understand Undersecretary Ball had a conference with the commissioner about the effect of this situation on the ambassador's continued employment of the State Department. On November the 1st, the attorneys filed a delinquent income tax return on his behalf of 61 and 62, the attorneys expressed doubt whether all prior returns had been properly filed. As a result of this disclosure, a revenue service investigation resulted in the ambassador filing 9 delinquent returns and paying all taxes, penalties, and interest. This investigation uncovered no evidence of fraudulent intent to evade taxes. At the time of the November disclosure, filing record appeared as follows. 1946 to 48 returns filed. 19 to 49 to 52, no record of returns. 1953, return filed. 1954 to 58, 5 years, no record of returns. 1959 to 60, returns filed. 1961 to 62, no record of returns. The 59 return bore the following note. Returns for some previous years not yet submitted. I have been handicapped in making these returns by continuous absence abroad, the unavailability of records which will make it impossible for me to itemize deduction. I shall consult the Internal Revenue Service in the immediate future. That's 59. After conference of IRS officials in November 63, the taxpayer expeditiously filed delinquent returns for the years 49 to 52, 54 to 58, with payment in full for taxes, interest, and delinquency penalty. He had previously made payment on his 61 and 62 returns when filed in 63. The taxpayer cooperated with IRS by furnishing all information requested and filing delinquent returns with full payment of all taxes. For the 9 delinquent years, the total deficiencies were $8,564 plus a 25% delinquency penalty and interest. 61, 62 deficiencies total $5,377 plus penalty. Now, I told them they had to survey him out. I couldn't have an ambassador that would go 9 years without filing an income tax return. If he didn't have the time to do that, he didn't have time to be a good ambassador, and he didn't have any business, and didn't have enough sense to work for the government. Go ahead and file an income tax return. They have protested it, and he's got every liberal friend in town giving me hell about it. Now, do you think I can live with a man who 9 years hadn't filed an income tax return?
If you knew about it, Mr. President, that's the kind of issues that hurt a fellow like hell in politics.
I know about it now, and they can't kick him out except by board, but I told Secretary of State today he had to get the board. He came in here kind of pleading for him. Again, they want to kick him out of his ambassadorship, but leave him working for the State Department. And I just don't think a man that, if he made a mistake, or if he took a deduction he wasn't entitled to, which I've done plenty of times, that they say, we won't allow you, we'll make you expense this, or we'll make you capitalize it instead of expense it. I've had a lot of that in my lifetime, but a fellow that goes 9 years without
not filing any return at all.
He claims that he may be in the Congo, or he may be in India, he may be someplace at the filing date.
All he's got to do is just put his name on the damn return and send it up there. That avoids any fraud charges if he does that.
You see, the big argument they make, they didn't catch him. He turned it in voluntarily. Now, the whole question is, he's going to lose his ambassadorship.
Well, he said he should lose that. I don't know enough about the man's
business. Well, he's got a lot of ability, and he's a good man, I think. And he's got every liberal in town for him. But it just seems like to me it's indefensible having anybody working the federal government that didn't pay his taxes.
Well, it's mighty hard. If he'd have slipped over 1 year, I could have understood how he forgot it, maybe, but for 9 years.
Vic, I've run into some of the best people that I know.
It's terrible.
The attorney for the American National Bank.
The government owns taxes.
The American National Bank in Austin, Texas, their general counsel, who used to date Lady Bird when the university came in my room one day and said he hadn't paid his taxes for 4 years. What happened was he thought he was going to be drafted, and he didn't get drafted, and he hadn't paid them. And he'd have been exempt if he'd have been drafted. And then the next year, he's afraid to tell it. And he went 4 years, and he couldn't sleep. And he's developed ulcers, and he's going crazy. And he came and told me. I turned it over to told him to go see a lawyer in Dallas, who I knew. And he went to see him, and he got him out.
Yeah, when they report him voluntarily, they seem not to ever prosecute him. Well, how the devil knows that the Internal Revenue, that's not a very high compliment to them, but they didn't catch him.
These little ones, they don't pay much attention to the little ones. They can't interview them.
This fella had enough time to retire?
No. It's cruel on him. And Rusk very strongly feels he ought to be allowed to stay in the service, but bust him from ambassadorship since he voluntarily did it. So it encourages other people to voluntarily do it, and they don't lose all of their livelihood. Jim Rowe used to work for me. He's just over here pleading for him.
Well, there's some merit in that, Mr. President.
Pretty hard to defend against Mixon, though, isn't it?
Well, the quality of mercy is not strained. It dropped in the general rain from heaven, but
just like.
I don't know. If he's really a good man, I think he lost his ambassadorship. I'd let him
stay on down.
know, that's good.
If that's what you these boys really wanted.
All right, okay, much obliged. You know anything else good for your country?
No, sir. I wish I did.
What have you done for Georgia? What have you done for Georgia today?
I haven't done a damn thing. Not one thing.
I'm going to name Carl Rowan now. I want you to hold your head.
Well, he's a very good man, but all right.
He's the best man that's available anywhere, and we've looked at all of them, and he's got all the background.
Well,
and
when he just pitches in giving the South hell,
he's not going to be. He's not.
Him as a gang of dirt eaters.
He's not. He's not going to do it. He's going to lean over backwards. He's going to lean over.
He's in mighty good shape down there now, but just one thing like that could just tear the.
He's going to lean over.
I personally don't care, I sense, but
he's going to lean over backwards. I don't. South don't listen to USIA.
Oh, Mr. President, don't you remember that time when that fella gave that thing down there and we spoke? I didn't. I opened my mouth. But John McClellan and Eastland and Stennis and McClellan and Eastland and Stennis and Spencer Holland others, Alan Ellender and Russell Long spoke 2 days over there. Some fella sent out some very derogatory business all over the world about the USIA, about the South. Put them in a very bad light, and they just raised hell for 2 days. And that's really what's been USIA's trouble in Congress ever since then. It's been that fellow there. That happened about 7 or 8 years ago. But of course, if you'll never get a kickback on it at all unless he does just go to slaying the South. And then if he does that, it'll upset our apple cart down there.
Well, he's not going to do that. He's a Tennessee boy, and he's born and raised there, and he's got more sense than that. He's had all these prominent positions, and you haven't heard a thing. I got into him about this other thing. He said he did not say or imply or believe that any senator got any money improperly. He did see an FBI report where a couple of congressmen did, and they were furnishing him money.
Well, I thought I remembered something about it.
But he didn't.
I got a funny memory. Things stick in my mind. I just happen to remember that at the time when it came through.
I think
he's probably all right, and I don't think.
I asked Roy Wilkins about him. He said his articles in Saturday Evening Post indicated that he didn't think the Negro was ready for everything, and that's where I might get a kickback at his Uncle Tom.
Well, I don't know about that. You'll get along all right with him. He's a pretty able fella.
I know he is. I took him around the world with me for a month, and I lived in close quarters with him, and he's able, respectful, and a gentleman.
He's got a good deal on the ball, but if the U.S. Army won't burn off, to start with on the Kennedy assassination. They start giving the South help. When the first, give them the